scripture. Russ, would you like to come? We are really off with our schedule today, but Russ is going to come and read our scripture for us.
Our reading, the second reading, is our sermon reading from Lamentations chapter 3. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So I was going to call the children forward, but we already took care of that. So everyone good.
Thanks, Rob.
For a second there, I thought, oh, gosh, what did I forget now, you know? Well, good morning again, everybody. Today's the last day of our sermon series, The Reason Why. And I think it's a great way to set up both Thanksgiving and the Advent season. And today's message comes from Lamentations and 1 Thessalonians. You know, Lamentations means the passionate expression of grief, of sorrow, or of weeping. It sounds like a fun book to read, doesn't it? The book of Lamentations. I mean, Thessalonians means... I mean, I'm sure it means something. I mean, maybe that Thess is Alonia. I don't know. Something like that. That died. That joke died. There is, however, tucked right in the middle of Lamentation, this incredible moment. The prophet Jeremiah had watched the holy city of Jerusalem burn. The temple lies in ruin. The people are in exile. Everything that once that felt secure is gone. And Jeremiah writes, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. It's one of the rawest laments in all of Scripture. But then in the very next breath, Jeremiah makes a stunning turn. Yet I will call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, out of the ashes, he finds gratitude. Out of loss, he finds hope. Out of sorrow, he sings, great is your faithfulness. And that's what we're talking about today. The reason we give thanks is because God is faithful. You know, reason number one, God's faithfulness is the anchor of our gratitude. When Paul writes his letter to the Thessalonian church, they were young believers facing hardship. They were facing persecution. They were facing uncertainty. There was a fear of the future. And yet Paul says to them, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then he adds that the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. I mean, this is why Paul can say, give thanks in all circumstances, not because all circumstances are good, but because God's faithfulness is good in all circumstances. And 2 weeks ago, as we were talking about gratitude, I said that having gratitude in the face of difficulty isn't denial, it's defiance. It's remembering that when everything else shifts, God stays steady. I mean, think about that, that this God, the same God who called the stars into being, who promised Abraham descendants, who led Israel through the wilderness, who raised Jesus from the dead, he is the same today. We don't give thanks because life is predictable. We give thanks because God is dependable. And his faithfulness is the anchor that holds us when everything else drifts. Now, reason number two, that God's faithfulness sustains us into waiting. You know, sometimes faithfulness is most easy, or is the easiest to see in the rearview mirror. We're able to look back and we're able to say that, oh, now I see that God has carried me through everything. But faithfulness isn't something that God did. It's something he is. Another translation puts Lamentations 3:22-23 this way, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Right, the prophet who has watched his home be destroyed, who saw the temple destroyed, is saying that, God, your mercies are new every morning. What Jeremiah is proclaiming isn't that faithfulness is a past event, that it is now a present reality. And when we're able to think of it that way, then the sunrise is a sermon of the faithfulness of God. But maybe that's not where you are at this morning. Maybe you're in a season of waiting right now, waiting for healing, waiting for clarity, waiting for a door to open or a prayer to be answered. Waiting can feel like wasting, like that we are somehow wasting away. But in God's kingdom, waiting is often where faithfulness grows. The people of Israel waited 70 years in Babylon before they came home. Mary waited 9 months for the Messiah to be born. The disciples waited 3 days for resurrection morning. Church, God is never late, but he is never rushed either. And while we wait, he is working. And that's why we can give thanks in the waiting, because faithfulness is not about how fast God moves, but how sure his promises remain. It takes us to reason number three, that God's faithfulness is proven in Jesus Christ. And when Jeremiah says, great is your faithfulness, he could only glimpse what we can now see clearly. But the ultimate proof of God's faithfulness came wrapped in swaddling cloths. Jesus Christ is God's yes to every promise. In Jesus, we find all of God's steadfast love and mercy and truth have been revealed. When we look at the cross, we see that faithfulness never gives up, that love endures betrayal and suffering and even death. When we look at the empty tomb, we see that faithfulness will never fail, that life is stronger than death, hope is stronger than despair. And so when we gather together this week at our Thanksgiving tables and we say, God has been faithful, we're not just being sentimental. We're declaring the deepest truth of the gospel. God has been faithful to raise his son from the dead. And if God was faithful to raise his son from the dead, he will be faithful to raise you up out of whatever grave you face today. And that is why we give thanks, because Jesus is the living proof that God keeps his promises. Reason number four is that God's faithfulness shapes our response. I believe that God's faithfulness towards us calls us to our own faithfulness. That gratitude that flows out of God's reliability leads us to live lives of reliability in return. And Paul ends his letter to the Thessalonians with this practical expression of faithful living. Warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. Now, faithfulness isn't passive, it's participatory. It means showing up when life is hard. It means keeping your word. It means forgiving again and again and again. Serving again and again and again. It means hoping again and again and again. Not because people always deserve it, but because God has been faithful to you. When we are assured of God's faithfulness, we will naturally live it out in holiness and love. The most grateful people that we will ever come in contact with are not the people who have had it easy. They are the people who have discovered that God was faithful even in the most difficult of places. And when we live with that kind of faithfulness, we become testimonies of God's steadfast love. And reason number 5 is that God's faithfulness gives us confidence for tomorrow. You know, Thanksgiving looks backwards with gratitude, but it also looks forward with trust. God's faithfulness doesn't trail behind us as some memory. It chases us like mercy on a mission. And that means we can step into the future unafraid. That whatever this next season of life brings, new challenges, uncertain plans, even the unknown, that God's faithfulness will meet you there before you arrive. As we close this series and approach Advent, let's remember that God's faithfulness is not an abstract idea. It is the Advent promise. The God who came once in Bethlehem is coming again in glory. And that's what sustains us in our thanksgiving, the faithfulness of the God who was, who is, and who is to come. 3 weeks ago, we began this journey by asking, why should we be thankful? And that we learn to give thanks because God is good, that his goodness is constant even when life is not. We learn to give thanks because grace is greater, that grace is greater than our sin, our guilt, and our pride. And today we give thanks because God is faithful, that his love endures forever, his promises never fail, and his presence never leaves us. That is the reason we give thanks. Not because every prayer has been answered the way we wanted or that every burden that we have has been lifted, but because through it all, God has been with us. And God will always be with us. In a world that changes daily, our hope rests in a God who never changes. And so as we turn towards the season of Advent, towards the season of waiting and hoping and longing, we do so with a heart full of thanksgiving. Thankful for God who has kept his promise to send a Savior who will keep his promise to make all things new. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for you. And as we said earlier, dear God, there is a million more reasons why we have to give you thanks. And to boil it down to 3 things, Lord, it doesn't come close to what you deserve. Thank you that you are God and that you are everything we are not. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the million other reasons, dear God, we have to thank you and to trust you and to choose to walk with you. Help us as we continue our journeys together, dear God. And it is in your name we pray. Amen.